Oh, glory to God. I'm going to say, I know you've heard it, but I think every one of us, speakers, staff members, we are amazed that you all are brave women. You don't mess around. That you chose to come and be here this morning. So thank you. I just feel the Lord. You know, I'm reminded that when Jesus, you know, he would see the crowds. You know, oftentimes what he would do, he would go up the mountains or he would go to the desert. And it was those that would follow him. I mean, think about it, climbing a mountain with the lame, the blind, the paralyzed, not easy. But they did it because there was something in them, a faith in them that says, I don't care if I have to climb. I don't care if I have to walk. I don't care if I have to go without food for 3 days. I want something. And I think that's in you. That you would choose to come on snowy, icy road. And I think God, in his infinite wisdom, has chosen to put this Bible college in Woodland Park. I asked the Lord, I said, why didn't you do it in a place that is so easy to go to, where there is all kind of hotels? No, he chose to bring it in a place where you have to contend for something. And what it does, it activates your faith. It requires faith for you to come here. So that's already half of the victory. And you know, as Miss Carrie, I have so much, I feel like, just put your seatbelt on, would you? Click, click. Because I'm loaded and I just gotta get it out. But you know, even as Miss Carrie was talking about finances, I remember the day where I only had one dime to put in the bucket. And I remember thinking, Lord, that's all I have to give, but I gave it. But here is what I told the Lord. I said, God, one day I'm going to put $1,000 in there. And then when I got to that place where I could give $1,000, I said, Lord, you watch me. I said, one day I'm going to give $100,000. But here is where I am. I said, one day I'm going to give $1,000,000. You watch, because that will happen. You see, it is like raising our expectation and dare to believe that God, if you are willing and obedient, he can do so much through you. So here it is, a little girl that only had a dime. But that's where it started. That's where I was willing. And you see, here is something powerful. It's like if we can get our heart where it's not what God can get to us, but more what can God get through us. You see, if we can get in that thought, I'm like, man, I want to be a blessing. What can you get through me? I guarantee you, watch out. Because God's going to get it through you, to you, faster than you can even think. So this morning, what I have in my heart to share, and I talked to you, we were talking about first building the foundation of seeing God as a father, being rid of that orphan spirit, that we would have that conviction to know that God is my father. And I can just, anything from there, every decision that we make, every choice we take, everything has to be motivated from that revelation of his love for us. And that is where I was talking about, I think it was what, Thursday night? Yes, yes. And I know, I was telling Miss Carrie, I said, I know that I shared some pretty radical things that some would go, oh, what is she just said? With the temptation of thinking, man, she's giving us a license just to do just about anything. And I just thinking to myself, and I told Carrie, I said, I just, you know, when you have to get people out of a ditch, sometimes you got to go to an extreme. But then I was trusted, and I knew that Miss Carrie would come after me. She would clean up whatever needed to be cleaned up. But this morning, what I want to talk to you about is how, in a practical sense, does that limitless life of the Spirit flowing through us, what does it look like? How are you guided, motivated, moving by the Spirit? Because that is the life. We saw that we've got to rise above the law. God has set us free from the law that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit. How does that Spirit life look like? How do you make decisions? How do you move? How do you think? How do you talk? By the Spirit flowing in you and through you. What does it look like? And I know I love it. And that's why I just love doing those conferences with Miss Carrie and Elizabeth, because it's like we don't talk to each other, but yet it seems like the Holy Ghost is just like a puzzle. And you know, they gave my two key scriptures that God has just given me that I build my life upon. The first one is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so that's what I love. Every time I see that production, looking at Paul, seeing what a life, knowing he was crucified with Christ, and it was not him who lived, it was Christ, the Spirit. Christ means the anointed one, the anointing. That was not his last name. He said, the anointing in you. He said he lived his life by, with, through the anointing in him. But you notice he said he allowed the anointing to flow through him to direct every decision he made, everything he did, by the faith. And what is faith? Faith is trust in God. Would you agree? But how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when we talk about the word of God in that verse, it is not automatically talking about the written word. It's talking about the spoken word that God speaks to you. You know, that's what Jesus says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you see, this Spirit life, this limitless life, we live it how? By a faith that comes, by a trust that comes, by hearing God speaks to you. It is not you. And you know Miss Carrie's favorite verse, Proverbs chapter 3. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And that is really how you and I are supposed to live our life, not trusting in our smartness, in our ability to do things, in our education, not trusting in the arm of the flesh and not trusting in what we think we know, but trusting in the Spirit of God in us to direct us in all of our ways. How? By speaking to you. And here what I want to talk to you this morning is that God speaks in many different ways. The first way he'll talk to us is through the word of God. That's why charis is so powerful. The written word of God is like a landing pad. It is a foundation through which God can use to speak to you individually. And God, when you open your Bible, open it asking the Holy Spirit, reveal. You are the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Speak to me. And as you read the written word, the Spirit of God will breathe to you, will speak to you. And when you hear, faith comes. And all you have left to do is simply trust and obey. Do whatever it is he says. And so for some of you, you know, you are, might be struggling. You know, we talked about it. You might be struggling with some, my goodness. You might be struggling with some addiction, with some bad habits, with some things that is like you don't know how to get rid of it. And like I said the first night, you've done New Year's resolution. You've put yourself under obligation of thou shall not, thou shall, you must, you should. And it didn't work. But how do you overcome? How do you live a victorious life over sin, over the bad habits, over the thing that seems to nag at you and keep you down and overcome you? How do you do that? By the Spirit. You see, there is a verse in Romans 8, verse 13. It says, if you live by the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. You know how I used to hear that? I used to hear that verse and I used to hear, if you live by the flesh, you die. But if you live by the Spirit, you will live. So here I was trying to live by the Spirit. But this is not what that verse is saying. He's saying, if you live by the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? By the Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 tells us. He says, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, can I do a parenthesis here? Can I have, do I have water? Hallelujah. Because we talked about the importance of getting free from fear and being rooted, grounded, motivated by the force of love, God loving us. But he seems here that there is a contradiction, that Paul says, work out your salvation. By the way, he's not talking about the salvation of your spirit. He's talking about the sanctification, which is the separation from the world. And he says, work out your sanctification with fear and trembling. Now, you know, when we talk about that kind of fear and trembling, we're not talking about that unhealthy, bounding fear of punishment, fear of rejection from God, fear that God's gonna discard us, put us down. No, no. The fear and trembling that Paul talks about, it's actually a love for God. It is, could you put Jeremiah 33 verse 9 on the thing here? Jeremiah 33 verse 9. It shall be a name of joy, a praise, and honor before all the nation of the earth who shall hear of all the good that I do to them. And then they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that provide for it. What the author is saying, there is a type of fear which we call the fear of the Lord. It is not a contradiction. It's the kind of fear that Jesus had. Isaiah 11 verse 2 and 3 says, the spirit of the fear of the Lord was upon Jesus. And the fear of the Lord was his delight. And therefore, he did not judge by the seeing of the eyes. He did not make decision and discern by the hearing of the ear. Jesus had the fear of the Lord. And so what is that fear of the Lord? It is such a love and honor, a respect for God. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you have ever gone to the Grand Canyon? AVL, put it up if you don't mind. Grand Canyon. I remember the first time I stood in front of the Grand Canyon. My breath was, I had that sense of something so big, so powerful, so majestic, so impressive. It made you feel small without crushing you. It gave you that feeling of wonder, of power, of awesomeness. That's exactly what the fear of the Lord is. Is you being able to see God as your creator, so big, so powerful, so awesome. And you look at him and it fills you with that wonder, with that awe, with that honor, with that respect, with that admiration, with that crushing you. Why? Because you understand that that amazing God wants to be your friend and your father. Amen. Think a second of that person that you admire the most. That person may be a celebrity or a man or woman of God. I don't know, somebody that you said, oh, I would love to be able to meet them, to tell them how much I would love. And then what happened? One day, they knock at your door, you open, and here they are. And they said, hey, hi, good morning. Could I get in and have a cup of coffee with you? I'd like to talk with you. How will it feel? You'll be like awestruck, and you'll go, hi, yes, please come in. That's what the fear of the Lord is. That understanding that God is so big, so powerful, so awesome, yet he looks at you and he said, could I have coffee with you? Could we just talk? I love you. And that kind of fear of the Lord, what happens? That kind of fear of the Lord is what causing you to love good and hate evil. And to say no to sin. Not because you're afraid of punishment, but because you're like, I love God too much. I love him too much. I hate evil. I hate sin. And that kind of wonder and that kind of love and admiration and respect for God, which we call the fear of the Lord, is what is causing you to say no. And so Paul is telling us that when we are facing the bad, he said, work out your sanctification with that kind of fear and trembling. And you know what he says next? For it is God in you that will cause you to will and to do. What is he saying? You see, most people, let's say you are struggling with cigarette smoking or whatever else, gossiping, I don't know. And you said, I will not. You've thrown so many packs of cigarettes. It's not even funny. You could open a cigarette stand. And every time you trample, you did everything, and it never seemed to work. But then one day you open your Bible, and you just read, having a good time with the Lord, to talk to him, to love on him. And all of a sudden you read a verse. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm just picking one verse. And you read it, and what happened? The Holy Spirit put life into that verse. You read it like you've never read it before. At that moment, what it is? God speaking to you through that verse. And it's causing a desire, something on the inside that didn't start with you. It started with the Spirit of God in you. And because he gives you the will, and if you said, okay, oh my gosh, yes, you're right. This is my temple. It gives you the will, the desire, and the moment you say, yes, Lord, you are willing to hear and obey, faith comes. And at that moment, there is a power. There is a grace that comes with that desire and that will that didn't come from you, that came from the power of God in you. And what you were unable to do before, with the power of the Holy Spirit, who is causing you to will and to do, you are able to overcome that very thing. It's powerful. We saw that the Holy Spirit in us is a powerful force of love, of joy, of peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such, there is zero law. It is the force of the Spirit that wants to flow through you to guide you, correct you, help you, strengthen you, raise you up, cause you to overcome. It is how you and I are to live this life. By the Spirit in us. It will breathe into the word, but also it might motivate you with the peace of God. I know there is a verse in Proverbs, I think it's 20:27. He said, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. What does it mean? It means that your spirit, not your head, your spirit is the instrument or it's the landing pad that God uses to bring you light. To give you understanding. You see, if you go in a dark room, it's pitch black. What are you going to do? Flip the switch and light will come. When you find yourself in the dark, where you don't know what to do or how to do it, what is God gonna do? He's gonna use your spirit. He will flip the switch in your spirit by moving through the peace of God. I like in Colossians 3:15, in the Amplified, if you could put it in the Amplified, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, acting as an empire, deciding any question that arises in your heart. What does it mean? It means that when you're in the dark, you don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. You just go to God and say, Lord, would you please give me light and understanding? And God will move upon your spirit through peace. I remember when God had brought me back in Bible college after I had been a missionary for years. And there I had gone to Rhema Bridal Training Center. And I met somebody. And then we got engaged, you know, and I met his family. They loved me. I loved them. Finally, I had a family I could call my own. I had parents, sisters, nephews, and nieces. His church, I loved them. They loved me. And everything seemed in the natural to be perfect. Somebody was making me the wedding gown custom made. Somebody had given us a wedding diamond. And the wedding ring, somebody else was paying for the honeymoon. And on top of that, one of the associate pastor had a vision about us that we were supposed to be married. And everything looked perfect on the outside. But as I go forward, preparing, doing marriage preparation, something happened on the inside of me. The peace of God was gone. I would wake up like feeling knots on the inside, in the pit. I couldn't sleep. I would toss and turn. I remember thinking about the wedding, not even being excited. But here's a mistake. I would stop and go from here to here. And I would think, but it has to be God. Everything in the natural seems to fall into place. It has to be God. And then I would fall, and I kept moving forward towards the wedding. And then I would get, as good time go by, the peace was gone again. Long story short, that battle between the spirit and the head went for a little while until one morning I woke up and I said, Lord, what's going on? Would you please show me, Lord? I don't understand. And he said, he is not your husband. And I had to break the engagement. And that's another big story. But when God told me to go to Florida and I met my husband, there seems to me to be a huge contradiction because I'm a missionary. He is a businessman. And I'm thinking, how does a bird get married with a fish? How do they live together? In the natural, it had no sense. There was a battle on the inside thinking, ah. But there was a peace that passed and went beyond all thinking and understanding. And we've been now married 25 years. You see, the peace of God can guide you, lead you, motivate you, just like, amen, we just saw. Glory to God. The love of God is supposed to motivate us, the love for God. You know, joy, it's also, you know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, they are not just little goosey, bumpy little emotions. They are spiritual forces, spiritual power within that is supposed to motivate you, supposed to quicken you, that is supposed to work in you and through you. Like, look at, I mean, another thing, joy. I remember when 25, 24 years ago, the Holy Spirit would wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning. Finally, I got up on the second day, and I just said, Holy Ghost, what's going on? And I prayed in another tongue because my head could not know what was happening. So I prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues. And all of a sudden I heard, there is cancer in your body. I had not even thought of cancer. I was a vibrant, healthy 37-year-old woman. But then the Holy Spirit warned me, showed me what was happening in my body, because I had been experiencing pain in the back of my back, in my inside the hip. And my husband said, please go and make an appointment, would you? So I was obedient, submissive to my husband. I did. But I was like, I don't know what's going on. Okay, I'll just please you. I'll just do as you say. It's okay. But that night, the Holy Ghost woke me up. And after praying in tongues, he said, there is cancer in your body. But he said, but the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Listen to me. At that moment, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and he said, the joy of the Spirit that is in you, it's a powerful force. What did I do alone in my living room? Ha ha, he he, ho ho. I always remember Kenneth Hagin saying, sometimes you have to start in the natural to end up in the Spirit. And so I was obedient. Holy Spirit says, a joy will be your strength. So I say, I'm going to tap in that joy. And may I say, the joy is not somewhere out there, wonder, it's in you. Remember, the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And so I started going, ha ha, he he, ho ho, ha ha, he he, ho ho. And I did that for I don't know how long, for quite a long time, until, and then all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, start singing. So I went, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I was having a little dance in my living room by myself. The whole time, my husband is conked out, didn't hear a thing. But after a while, after that, something happened. It was no longer hee hee ha ha ho ho hoo. It was a joy that started to go shoo. And I started to laugh and laugh and laugh. And at that moment, something happened in my spirit. I knew that I knew that I knew that I was healed. And there was such an unspeakable joy, full of God's glory. Peter talks about that. And when I went to the doctor, in obedience to my husband's request, the doctor did test on me and she said, Mrs. Mack, I'm sorry to announce to you have bone cancer. And I looked at her with a big smile. Hallelujah. She's like, you're in denial. Don't you understand? Well, long story short, she sent me to an oncologist and they did all kind, you know, all kind of tests and stuff on me. But here is something so powerful that 9.5 months later, with that treatment, with that chemotherapy, radiation or nothing, the cancer that had metastasized to the back of my column, you know, of my spine, everything disappeared. And listen, months later, I read a verse in the Bible, and I had read that verse hundreds of times. But that morning I saw it and God spoke to me, Proverbs 17:22. He says, a merry heart does good as medicine, but an anxious heart, listen, will rot the bones. Did you see what the Holy Spirit, what he did? How he directed me, spoke to me, directed me. All I had to do is to listen, to obey, and yield to the force, to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And on the other side of that obedience, there was a miracle. And it has become my greatest message. And the test and trial that we go through, if we look at it with the spirit perspective, we can turn them around and it can become your greatest message and testimony. Amen. The force of joy is what healed my body, because I heard, I yielded. And you know, love, we talked about love. It's such a powerful force. Did you know Matthew 14:14? It says that Jesus saw the crowd and he was moved with compassion. What does this mean? That when Jesus saw people, something was happening on the inside of him. The force of love, of compassion, would show him something. He knew at that very moment, because he experienced that love, that compassion in you. The Father wanted to do something. The Father wanted to speak, to act, to heal, to deliver. You and I can be moved with the same force. There is a verse, I think it's in 2 John verse 6. If you could show it in the Amplified. No, that's not the one. 2 John. It's 2 John, verse 6. There is only one chapter in 2 John. 2 John, verse 6. Amplified. You awesome, AVL. And what this love consists in this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by his commandment, his order, ordinances, precept, teaching. This is the command, as you have heard from the beginning, that you continue to walk in love, guided by it and following it. When you sense that love for somebody you don't even know, you know what God is telling you? The Spirit of God is saying, hey, I want to flow through you to do something in that person. You might be behind the, you know, at the grocery store, at the Walmart, and there is a person behind the counter, and all of a sudden you don't know that person, but you feel like a love, and you're like, why do I just feel love for that person? You know what you need to do? You need to yield to it, obey it, saying, okay, yes, Lord, what will you have me do? And as you take that step, guided by that love in you, God will start speaking and doing. I remember one time I saw a pair of twins that both had Lyme disease. One got healed. The other one was still in a wheelchair. And it was in a charismatic Catholic conference in the south of France, or in the west of France, excuse me. And I saw those twins, and I could see one of the twins running, you know, having a blast, and the other little twin in a wheelchair. And you could tell she was so sad. And when I saw that young woman, I was filled with compassion. Never seen her, didn't know her, didn't have any idea what was happening. But I recognized that love that were motivating me, that love didn't come from me. It did not originate from Audrey Mack. It was a spirit of God, that force of love that was moving, telling me, I want to do something. Would you say yes? And as I did it, long story short, I ended up going to that young woman in a wheelchair, ministering to her. And I stayed with her for 45 minutes. And at the end of it, she started to walk. Amen. And a few months later, she was playing soccer with her sister. How did that start? And oftentimes, how do those healings and miracles, and you know, how does that happen? Because you recognize there is a force of love, a compassion. You just yield to it, just like you yield and you let yourself be guided with peace, or guided by love, or guided by joy. It is a powerful force inside of you. And that, I tell you, very often when I see God's got a tender heart for people, And sometimes you might see a young person with all kinds of tattoos and piercing from here to there. And you look at them, you don't know them, and all of a sudden you feel a love for them. Don't just overlook it, pass by. Just stop and say, Lord, why do I feel that love? Why will you have me do? Every time. And let me talk about also the peace. Because I remember, I never shared that in public, but I will this morning. A couple years ago, I lost half of my hair. And I've always enjoyed having my long, full set of hair, you know, long hair. I had long hair right here. But then, days after day, I'd go in the shower and I would pull wads of hair where at the point I lost half of my hair. I went to the hairdresser, they cut my hair short, but she completely destroyed my hair, cutting it with a razor. My hair was becoming thin, brittle, in shock. And so you know what I did? The first thing I did, I said, Lord, you are my Father and I know you love me. So I know, Lord, you are even concerned, not concerned, but you feel that love for me. And you know that my hair is important. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. Was I going to yield to the fear of getting bald? The fear of losing everything? Was I going to yield to that, or was I going to yield to the force of peace? You know, you read the peace that subdued. And so I made a choice. I say, Lord, you are my Father. You care for me. You love me. You know what's going on. So I'm just going to trust you. And I chose to stay in peace. Refuse to get anxious. Refuse to be afraid. And for 1 year and a half, I wore a fake ponytail. You know, the first time I wore that fake ponytail, I was in Switzerland. And all of a sudden, there is a pastor that runs after me. Sister Audrey, sister, you lost this. I had lost the fake ponytail. He found it on the ground. Do you think about the peace? I had to say, smile and say, no, I'm staying in the peace. Somewhat later, I'm in a conference. A precious lady, you know, people see you on TV and they think they're your best friend. They think like, I love them. She came behind me. She yanked on my ponytail. There, thank God it stayed on my head. By an act of God, I think. But you see, do you think the peace was I trying to go? And I had a choice. No, I'm not going to yield to the fear, to the stress, to the what's going to happen with my hair. I'm going to stay in that place of peace because peace is a powerful force that will subdue the enemy. And I'm here to tell you, 2 years later, and it's my hair. I can yank on it all I want. It'll stay on my head. In 2 years' time, God restored my hair, full hair, healthy and strong, because I yielded to that force of peace on the inside of me. So I do not want to live this place. If there are some of you, you heard me say how the Holy Ghost woke me up, how I prayed in tongues. And you know, when you pray in another tongues, it's one way you become most sensitive to the voice of God. It's one way you become more aware of the presence of God in you. It's one way you stir up, like Paul said and told Timothy, stir up the gift of God which you have received by the laying on my hand. For God is not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Praying in another tongues. So, lady, this morning, if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the ability to pray in another tongue, I want to do it this morning. Let me tell you, it's the easiest thing to do. Some of you have been asking God for years, but you have not known how to yield, which I'm going to help you to do this morning. So if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, have that power and have that prayer language, I want you to come forward. Run to the front. Don't even walk. Run. line on the front. Come to the front. Come on, ladies. It keeps coming. Come running. Come running. I do not want to take any time from Miss Carrie's time. You are beautiful. But I tell you, you're going to leave this place powerful. Here is the thing. I will explain to you very quickly. It is so simple. The number one thing is Jesus said in Luke 11, verse 13, he says, if you, being fathers, being natural, carnal father, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So we see right here, the father said, hey, that's my will for every one of my daughters. So it's not a question whether if yes or no. It is a given. Father God does not want you to leave this place without being filled and empowered by the Spirit. The second thing is that God has to be your father. Is there anybody here this morning? You cannot honestly confidently say that God is your father. You don't know that you are really born again. You kind of wonder, I wonder if I'll go to heaven. I'm not sure. Anybody here this morning, you do not have that confidence? It's good. Raise your hand. Yes. 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 Would you do me? Just come right to the front. Make room for those ladies. Yeah, go right here. I'm talking, ladies, about knowing that if you were to die today, you don't have that witness, that confidence, that certainty that you would go to heaven with God. You're still in that wandering mode. Well, I'm not sure, maybe. I don't know. You see, when you are born again, you know. The Bible says the Spirit himself will bear witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. So if you do not have that witness, that certainty, that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, then you need to. Every one of you, if you said, oh, no, I didn't understand, you can, that's okay. So let's just pray for that right now, so that then you can receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go down like this, so I'm more like, just close your eyes and pray this prayer after me from your heart. Not your head, but it's a heart thing, you see? Just repeat after me, Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came on the earth to show me the Father. But he died on the cross to pay for all my sin, past, present, and future. And he rose from the dead to give me new life. Today, I confess you, Jesus, as my Savior, my Lord. Today, I give you my life. I am yours to do your will. So thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, today something happened in your spirit. That spirit that was an old creation, God, in a miracle power kind of way, took that old nature, that old spirit that always defeated you, overcame you, condemned you, and he made you a new creation. So now, in your spirit, you are brand speaking new. In your spirit, you are created in the image of God. In your spirit, not your head, not your body, your spirit, the part of you that will go to heaven is created in God's image. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit now have chosen to be in you. You're not alone. Now you have a father. Would you do me a favor? Would you turn around, ladies? Face the crowd. Just stand up. You can come on the steps. Come on the steps. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Ladies, I have the greatest honor to present you to your new sisters in Christ. Now stay here, all of you, because that's only half of the good, the goodness of God. Now all of you are gonna get filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Okay. Ladies who gave your heart, your life to Jesus, Shannon, where are you, sweetheart? You see this beautiful lady in red? After, during the break, go to her, right? You have a book to give them. How to start this new life on a winning path. But now, all of you need to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Did you know the Bible said that Jesus, who was the Son of God, was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good? Why? To show us an example. You cannot live this life by your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we discovered, number one, that God is your Father, which now He is to all of you. Number two, you got just to have a desire for the Holy Spirit. I love that Jesus said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And the next verse says, and he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, which he was going to send. And so if you want to know more about God, if you want to be able to read your Bible and understand it, if you want to be able to live this life, a victorious life over sin, a life of joy, peace, love, goodness, then you need the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's very simple. God said, Jesus said, we're just going to ask. I will lead you in a simple prayer. But here is a key. After the prayer, you're just going to have to yield. Not resist, but go, you're going to have to make me talk. No, no. Just yield to the Spirit, because something will happen. He will fill you. And out of your belly, something is going to want to come out. But if you keep your mouth shut, nothing's going to come out. You know, Acts 2, verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with another tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you see, we're going to pray. We're going to believe you receive, because Jesus said, anyone who asks receives. That's what faith, amen. And then you are going to be like little children. Jesus said in Luke 17, 18, he said to receive like a little child. You see, when a child hear mom and dad talk, the little child wants to talk, right? What does he do? He opens his mouth and start talking. It's just as simple as that. And yes, it starts with ba ba da da ga ga ba da ga ba 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 ga. He doesn't care. As far as he's concerned, he's talking. This is today. I'm gonna be the faith of a little child. We're gonna pray. You're gonna receive. You're gonna open your mouth and yield to the Spirit in you by starting to talk. Without even, you will not understand. You just have to yield. Don't try to understand, because it's a spiritual language that will be birthed from your spirit to talk directly to the Father. The Bible says he who speaks in another tongue does not speak to men but to God. Howbeit, in the spirit, he prays out mysteries. Like a hotline direct to the Father. Yes. And the devil cannot understand it. Yes. Are you ready, ladies? I'm going to ask you to do two more things. Close your eyes. Forget who is around you. Forget about me. I'm not the one giving you the Holy Spirit. It is the Father. In the name of Jesus. The second thing, just open your heart, yield. Ready to receive. You might want to open your hands, open your heart. And I want you, with your eyes closed, to imagine Jesus Christ in front of you. Because in the spirit, he is here. Repeat after me. Father God, from your heart. Father God, fill me now with the Holy Spirit and power. I believe, because I ask, I receive now. I will open my mouth and I will speak in tongues as Holy Spirit. Give me that ability. So I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I am your temple. Fill me now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be filled now in the name of Jesus. Start opening your mouth. Keep your eyes closed and pray in tongues right now. Robaka shandele kechara korikishi kichando korabaka ashare karabaha shande kicho toro oshe ketarabahi tare kechonde
ton darabratin tavaratin chikala parabratin tadavrul chu
karabaha shandele
alala vestin tevala
go ahead kashande koraha shide kona maha shande koraha sha koriki chene masonde kachotora kashata tere. That's it. Shandele kate rivers brakishi ki ano mande lando kicha prosoche bangiti korobo shandele kate. Keep your eyes closed. Stay leaning your eyes on the Lord. Brashi ki chene. Open your mouth. Pray in tongues. Koria shandele e katoro. Shonde de be filled. Bande le katore. Shikatonde le kachoro. Shiki chatoro. Ki ashonde. That's it. That's it.
Oh, hola, hey, Shahano. Oh, hola, hey, Hano.
You are too self-conscious. Close your eyes and pray in tongues. That's it, sweetheart. Kone mecha tora hiki icha sekato torede kachere beka toro. Filled, be filled in Jesus' name. Pronde kata. That's it. Proni kiche, be filled. That's it. Don't be afraid, pumpkin. That's it. Keep going. Oh, hallelujah. Continue. Yield to it. Shoni kato broshate kichatere ki oshonde de shito daste kitan. Go ahead. Dokana, be filled in Jesus' name. Londia to broshodi ki di jo no mo oshande. Go and pray behind. Just don't lay hands on her. Just speak behind her. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Keep going. Rondi cho prostade. Kisto cobra nele. Kito coba reke. Shiko tondere. Be filled. Be filled. Shodi ki chandore. Beautiful. Just keep. Open your mouth. Prondi ashtande. Out of your belly will flow rivers. Shundili kare boni atare beste. Koni niatane ne kestoro. Just yield to it. Just pray in tongues.
Sharete hite bate hilia makita.
Kariato koshande de kishita. Shonde de ashata tere de. Shodi di kishe. That's it. Close your eyes. Receive right now. In Jesus' name. Be filled. Be filled. Sudi ita nono koshtare. Pradi kishi kichi. Fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Shudi atoro bone e kajere. Open your mouth and start speaking. Shondi kiche toro hotare. Kori ina atane ne keshtoro. Many of you are speaking. Don't keep your mouth closed. Start opening. Start yielding. You see, that's it. Whether you have one word, two words, or a full language, just yield to it. Yield to it in the name of Jesus. Oh, la, na, na, na. I'm going to ask you to stop. Stop speaking. I know it's hard, huh? Start again. Would you start again praying in tongues? Proti kishi katatane meke rashto rondo to de beke echare. Stop. Why do I do that? I want to show you, you don't have to feel something special to pray in tongues. God has filled you, but you're still free. You're still free. Free to pray, free to stop. God is not going to push you, force you, control you. But you're going to have to choose to pray in tongues. And like Paul, I hope you pray in tongues more than y'all. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. Dawn, we also have, you see, Shannon, come here, sweetie. Come on the right here. You're too pretty to hide. You see this precious lady, she's got a book for all of you. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Congratulations.
Amen. Congratulations and welcome to the family, to those other sisters.